In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
We're so glad that you decided to join us again today for the Word for Life radio broadcast of the Brookside Baptist Church. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, counseling pastor and senior citizens pastor at Brookside. And we are just thrilled to be able to open up the Word of God with you and help you just kind of find some answers to what you're going through in life. Many times our broadcasts are dealing with certain stories of our church members and what they've learned about God and key scriptures that are just so real to them as a result of the experiences in their lives. But the next couple of broadcasts, we want to just ask one of our pastors, Pastor Joe Helm, to share with us from God's Word concerning how to know the will of God. Because every time we are talking through these stories, the question always arises, but how can that be the will of God? How can this crisis be a part of the will of God? And so we want to take just a few of our broadcasts and let Pastor Joe focus for us on how to know the will of God. Pastor Joe, welcome back to our studio. And glad you could join us for this morning broadcast.
Well, thanks, Pastor Greg. Great to be here, as always. And so we're looking forward to a wonderful show together. We often hear believers, of course, in particular, question in their mind, or even verbally, of course, what is the will of God? They struggle with that. And sometimes we get the impression that, you know, the will of God is just like a mysterious force or a mysterious fate or an accident waiting to happen. Something occurs in your life, and now you have to interpret that and try to find some meaning to it and respond, of course. But I think that really that's an unfortunate perception of the will of God, because I think, as we'll see, hopefully, today and some other programs, perhaps, that the will of God is actually very, very clear, very, very objective. The Scripture speaks about the will of God voluminously. I mean, just take, for example, the actual phrase will of God is found 23 times in the Scripture. So there's 23 passages that we could go to, at the very least, where the will of God is very specifically referenced and explained.
Right. Delineated as a...
Yeah. Yeah. And then, in addition to the will of God phrase, 19 times we can find His will, His referring to capital H, Lord, His will, at least 19 times.
Okay.
And of course, then you've got literally hundreds of references to thus saith the Lord.
Which and, obviously yeah. is His will.
Amen. If he says That's it. Right. It's what God wants. It's what He directs. It's what He commands. It's what He instructs.
Okay.
And so you've got, I think it's, if I remember correctly, it's in the King James Bible, 816 times says, saith the Lord.
Sure.
And so many, many, many of those, of course, would be very instructive in terms of what God desires and what He wants and what He commands and calls for.
So in the next 14 years, we're going to be talking about that.
And then, you know, then you add to that the literally hundreds upon hundreds, probably thousands of what are called imperative verbs in the Scripture. And imperative verbs are the grammatical form of a command.
Okay.
It's instruction. It's what God's telling you to do.
It's not a suggestion.
No, it's not a suggestion. It's not just a good idea.
Right.
It is the will of God. He's telling you to do it. And there's many, many of those. In fact, several months ago, I think, we did a study on the 22 imperatives of a watching and waiting believer from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5.
Right.
And so right within just a few verses, there were 22 imperatives. And so the Scripture is just full of the will of God. And so it's not a mystery. You don't have to wonder or be confused about it. You just have to study the Word and go to these places where God instructs the believer.
Right.
One of the greatest passages that I've run into in recent months, which really caught my attention and caused me to draw in and do a study on it, which resulted then in an expanded study of the will of God for my adult Sunday school class, is in Colossians chapter 1, starting with verse 9, where Paul says to these folks in Colossae, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Now, the cause he's referring to there is the communication that Paul had from Epaphras and others of the faith and love that had come to the Colossae church as a result of their conversion, their faith in Christ.
Right.
They had an incredible faith and love for God and for people, for the saints. And so as a result of that, Paul realized, okay, I need to pray for these people.
Mm-hmm.
Because he knew as the Apostle Paul that the one thing that these folks needed to know was the will of God. Now that they're saved, now that they've got faith and love, they need to know the will of God. And so he says this, again, verse 9, for this cause, your faith and love, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. That's what Paul was praying for them for. Now, the word there, cease, is interesting, too, because it carries with it the imagery of the determination of Paul and those that were with him, his little group or his little assistants, so to speak.
Sure.
They did not stop praying. They were continuing. The idea is a continuing, not ceasing, not stopping, not even pausing to some extent,
sure.
If you understand the
kind of like breathing, then. It's
just the figurative nature of it. Just, he wanted to emphasize to them, it was almost like a dogged determination to just keep on praying for these people. And so it would give them encouragement that he was really earnest about this. And he said, they don't cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. The word pray for is simply pray for, but built into that word is the understanding that it's praying to the God of heaven, the ultimate supreme creator of the universe. And then the word desire there is actually the word to beg, to entreat, to plead for. And so, again, it carries with it the intensity of Paul and the others with him that they were just not ceasing to go before the God of heaven and, as it were, beg him on behalf of these Colossian believers. And, of course, what is he begging for? That they be filled with the knowledge of his will. The word filled there is the same Greek word as in Ephesians 5:18, where it says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. The word filled there carries with it the idea of control, influence, being dominated by, or being consumed with something.
Like control by the will of God?
Well, the idea would be the knowledge. Yes, it is the will of God, but in the sequence of the words here, he says that he's praying that they would be entirely overwhelmed with, under the influence, or even overpowered with, the knowledge of the will of God. The word knowledge there carries with it the idea of not just data, not just intellectual understanding of the facts, but recognition of the significance of it. The import of it, the impact of it, the magnitude of it.
Big difference there.
Oh, huge.
Yes.
It's the personal recognition.
Right.
It's like you have these cartoons where somebody's puzzled about something, and then in the cartoon, in order to help you to understand that all of a sudden they get it, they show a little cloud above the guy's head with a light bulb coming on, you know?
Right.
It's this idea that there's this recognition of the impact of this truth. It's not just the facts.
Right, okay.
And so he wants these people to be overwhelmed with the recognition of what God's will is, so that their lives would be completely impacted and transformed.
Sure.
That's the idea.
Wow, okay.
And so then I start questioning, well, okay, Paul, because he goes into some things that are really encouraging about that will of God, but what he's trying to emphasize is that the recognition of the will of God, when it comes, and we'll get there eventually here, but it demands my action. It demands my response.
Right.
I can't just see it in the mirror and walk away, as James makes reference to, about, you know, seeing who you really are in the mirror. The problem is you turn around and you forget.
Right.
And you just go your way. And so it's the idea that when you're almost like the idea of assaulted with the will of God all of a sudden appears, you recognize it, and it has to have a response of surrender, a response of obedience, a response of a willing sacrifice, like in Romans 12:1, that, you know, he begs those people to present their bodies a living sacrifice.
Right.
Because that's their reasonable response to the gospel and to the forgiveness of God. And so it's like the song that says, this demands my soul, my life, my all.
Exactly.
That's the idea. So Paul's communicating to them that he is praying that they will have that kind of overwhelming response to the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you think about the question, it ought to be axiomatic, I guess, but is the will of God important? Well, you think about what is the will of God? What does that phrase actually mean? It means what God wants.
Right.
And even more so, it means what God requires. It's what he commands. It's what he literally has ordained by his providence and his power, his wisdom, his knowledge. In other words, we could wrap it all up by saying it's his plan.
Right.
It's his program for this earth, the people in it, and particularly for those that come to know Christ and are now have become part of the church for which he has this grand plan.
Mm-hmm.
And so is it important? Absolutely it's important. It actually is everything. It's everything to the believer. If you don't know the will of God, you're completely, at the very least, utterly out of the loop, mm-hmm. so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, you know, it might be a little alarming to think about, but you're deluded.
Mm.
You're not understanding reality. You're understanding a fantasy if you don't really understand the will of God.
It's kind of like flying without your instruments. And I understand when that happens, you can actually be upside down and you don't know it. And you have to have your instruments operating for you to know the true facts of where you are and what your condition is.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, your illustration just reminded me of the story of, wasn't it Robert Kennedy? The young congressman, the Kennedy congressman, several years ago, was killed in a plane crash.
That was President Kennedy's son.
Yeah, John. That's what, John Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
what happened to him. He got in a bad storm. He was not instrument rated. They believe that he just got totally disoriented.
Yes.
Because his instruments weren't working and he went down and perished. Well, I mean, that's it.
That's where we are without the will of God overwhelming us and becoming our direction.
Yeah, because then you're just living kind of in a fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, either that or the other side of that coin is that you do know the will of God and you're refusing to do it.
Okay.
Which the other side of the delusion is rebellion.
Yes. We obviously want to continue this conversation. And it could be that you're listening to us this morning and you're saying, pastors, I have someone for whom I'm very much concerned that they would know and do the will of God. And I just want to encourage you to take the heart of the Apostle Paul and just begin to do what he and his team did for these folks in Colossae, just to pray constantly and consciously for these friends and dear loved ones, maybe of yours, to know and be overwhelmed with a desire to know and do the will of God, because God answers prayer. So until the next time, we trust that the Lord will give you just an awesome peace in his will.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer, or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to help continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.